Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors of this station. They're not necessarily my views either. They're the views of our guests. And, well, we've got a fascinating guest today. His name is David Bay. He has a website called cuttingedge.org. And I think you'll find the material up there is excellent. But right now, of course, we want to introduce David. Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Stan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
It's afternoon back there, isn't it?
It is afternoon, right. And is it snowing back there where you are?
Snowing in South Carolina? No, I don't think so.
All right, fine.
Remember, I just recently moved from Massachusetts.
Right.
I do believe it's snowing in Massachusetts.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, tell us your take is on what's going on and what are the most important issues you'd like to talk about today.
Well, I think that the most important issues are two. You know, a proper analysis of the election results and what might come out of that, and then this 60-day Iraq. I mean, this UN resolution on Iraq, which gives Saddam Hussein 60 days to comply or face war. Both of these issues are intertwined, and once we understand what they're all about, then I think it helps us understand what's facing us a little bit better.
All right.
In the Iraqi resolution, that was introduced the day to the United Nations, the day after the president got his election mandate, and I was very, very concerned when I saw that the Republicans had gained so much, you know, in the House and Senate, and I say that from the being a lifelong Republican, and, you know, I used to cheer this kind of thing, but that was before I knew the reality of what's going on. I know from history that countries whose citizens go to the polls regularly are very reluctant to go to war. And, you know, whereas a dictator can just marshal his forces and give the order and tell the people what he's doing, a country whose citizens are, you know, go to the polls have to be led into the war. It has to be a very steady propaganda drumbeat has to convince the people this is what needs to be done, so that when the president orders the attack, everybody is behind him. Unified presidents lead the country into war. Presidents that do not have people united behind him do not lead a country into war. Good examples. Franklin Roosevelt. He and his cabinet knew America had to get into World War II. But, you know, they saw Hitler's juggernaut conquer Europe and bring Britain almost to her knees and the Soviet Union, but he could not launch America into that war without a provocation. So, you know, Pearl Harbor happened. Surprise, surprise. And
right.
Historians now are generally agreed that we really prodded Japan into attacking.
Well, not only that, but we knew where the Japanese fleet was, and we did not tell Admiral Kimmel, and anybody who has any question on that needs to get our 4-tape set on Pearl Harbor and hear it from the people who've really researched and studied it, and ask why it is that even today, 60 years after December 4th, 1941, why so much of that information is still classified, dealing with what America knew? And the only explanation is not that we don't want the Japanese to know what we did. We don't want Hirohito to know what we did. We don't want the American people to know what we did. And you see, we can't let the American people understand the crass indifference to human suffering. But I would disagree with you to a point, David. The reason we went into the Second World War was because they wanted a League of Nations. Now, United Nations. Now, certainly Adolf Hitler was a wicked individual. Did you know that Herbert Mueller, the head of the Gestapo, was brought here after the end of the Second World War and gave him a flush job?
As were a lot of the old Nazis,
but what most Americans don't know is American corporations actually funded and worked very closely with Adolf Hitler. In fact, a man named Prescott Bush, later to become Senator Prescott Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, was indicted for trading with and financing the enemy.
Well, there's a great book out called The Best Enemy That Money Can Buy.
Right, we carry that.
By Anthony Sutton,
right.
I believe.
In fact, in the new book, we carry that book. We carry a new book by Alexandra Robbins on the secrets of the tomb. And there she talks about how Prescott Bush, the grandfather of our president, was indicted for helping and dealing with Adolf Hitler during the war itself. So our perception of the Second World War really is not a very accurate one.
Yeah, you're right.
They've dumbed out the American people. But I agree.
They're definitely a planned war.
Well, and I agree with you totally that we can see how they're playing on the emotions of the American people today, and they're saying Saddam Hussein is a terrible man, and they're absolutely right. And they're saying Saddam Hussein may have nuclear weapons, and that may be right. He may have nuclear weapons, but we know that Iran actually has them. So why aren't we telling the American people about that?
And we also know Saudi Arabia has them, and they're not on our hit list.
And so, we have to understand that we're being manipulated. And once the American people understand that the media is controlled and is being used to lead the American people into this war, and it'll be fought for far different purposes than the American people ever be allowed to know. So I share your concern.
We're being manipulated into a war. And right after... The election, the day after the election, and the day after that. So for the first few days after the election, article after article appeared on in the major news outlets, in which they called the election a mandate. Well, that's exactly what the president needs in order to lead us into war. He needs a perceived mandate. And, of course, Adolf Hitler said it best. He said it was a great propaganda principle. He says reality is not what is. Reality is what people perceive it to be.
Absolutely. We're going to have to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with David Bay. And since we're talking about Adolf Hitler, we carry a wonderful, wonderful book. It's entitled The Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and it goes into the background of how we financed Adolf Hitler. That's actually covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, in Ted Finn's excellent book entitled The Hope of the Wicked, and in Jim Marr's excellent book, The Secret Rulers, or the name actually escapes me now, but just ask for Jim Marr's book. It was actually published by A Rule by Secrecy was the title of it. We actually have an interview with Anthony Sutton where he talks about how we financed Adolf Hitler, but we can't let the American people know that, because after all of our textbooks tell us what a wicked man he was. We carry the book entitled Gestapo Chief, going into the background of how we brought Heinrich Mueller to the United States, the head of the German Gestapo, the man responsible for so many tragic deaths. And certainly in the book Medusa File, which we carry, you'll read all about Operation Paperclip. We brought the Nazis, many of them, to this country and helped the rest escape to South America. Did you ever wonder why it was the Nazi hunters that tracked down Adolf Eichmann, you remember, or the group of the Wiesenthal Institute tracked him down? Why didn't our people track him down? Because we were protecting him. You see, but we can't let the American people know that. They have their perceptions. This is why I often say reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. You need to get the books that have been suppressed for so many years. And they're available by giving us a call at 1-800-4-7-4-7. 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Gestapo Chief, the best enemies money can buy. Brotherhood of Darkness and Hope of the Wicked. Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination date. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, you know, the tragedy is the American people have forgotten that war is hell. That's what General Sherman said. You know, war is hell. The only people who want war are the people who have never had to experience it. And you have to understand that we are talking about going to war with Saddam Hussein. And, of course, as you've heard me say before, and I will say it again, we left Saddam Hussein in power in 1991. According to Robert Byrd in his book entitled See No Evil, and he was a CIA station chief in northern Iraq, and in his book, which was cleared by the CIA for publication, he talks about how we betrayed the military leaders of Iraq who wanted to overthrow Saddam Hussein in 1993, and how we did the same thing in 1995. And then we say, oh, why don't the military leaders of Saddam Hussein, the military leaders of Iraq overthrow Saddam Hussein? Well, they tried twice, and we betrayed them, and they were arrested and tortured to death. And, of course, that was the result of American foreign policy. Why? Because I think they've always wanted this war. I think it's been planned for a long time. There are articles that appear in the Sunday Herald Tribune or Examiner over in England pointing out that this war was planned long before George Bush ever went into the White House. And you can, if you want to document these things, we'll be glad to get the information for you. You need to begin to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And, of course, what goes around, comes around. And if the American people are quite willing to allow this carnage and bloody warfare on the streets of Baghdad, why won't God allow them right here in the United States? Because men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Go ahead, David.
Well, the fact of the matter is, you mentioned that this Iraq war was planned a long time ago. As Bill Schneblen, a former Satanist, related to you and me that this war was planned sometime right after World War II, and it was planned to be the trigger for the World War III, and so it's been planned a very long time. And you're right about Bush leaving Hussein in power. After fighting that war, I was really of the belief that Isaiah 13, which talks about Babylon, which is Iraq, being seized and destroyed, and the whole land destroyed with unprecedented warfare. I really felt that prophecy was coming true in that war. But then when he pulled when George Bush Sr. pulled our forces off Saddam and left him alive and left him in power, I realized two things. I realized that the fulfillment of that Bible prophecy in Iraq was going to wait for another day, and I realized that Saddam Hussein was a part of his plan, and he had a role to fill in the coming in the coming years, and we've seen him fulfill that role perfectly. And today he stands as the ultimate straw man, the ultimate boogeyman. And that's exactly what we've made him not to be. But getting back to this election mandate, The president needed a mandate to go to war, and I do believe that he now has it, and he is perceived to now have it. And since then, we've heard and seen or read many articles which talk about the president's new clout, the Republicans' new clout, and how the president now even took that new clout to the United Nations. Now, that's the second thing that I want to talk about is the United Nations vote. After the president waited until the day after the election, which should be telling to any thinking person, to take that resolution to the United Nations. I mean, he could have done it a lot earlier, but he waited until the day after the election. And then the United Nations Security Council gives him a unanimous vote. I mean, that took even me by surprise, Dan. Russia and France and China for months and months and months, for like 7 months, as far as I can count, going back 7 months ago, they repeatedly castigated Bush and the United States for our plans against Iraq. Russia has signed deals with Iraq, weapons deals and oil deals, and they've all said how silly we are for thinking that Saddam Hussein posed that much power or that much threat. And yet, when the time came to act, the United Nations gave him a unanimous vote.
You ever have a feeling that this whole thing is stage managed, and you've got to have these people fighting, up on the stage, but the real decisions are made behind the scenes, and then at the last minute it all just comes together, and then we go off into the sunset happily. Now we have the United Nations permission, at least to go after Saddam Hussein if he doesn't cooperate fully with the United Nations arms inspectors. And you have to understand that Russia and China have both been funding Islamic terrorism. They're both working with the Islamic terrorists. So, why are they suddenly our allies in this war against terrorism when Russia has funded terrorism for years? And certainly the Chinese Communist government has been working with these Islamic radicals as well. And there's all sorts of information on this out there, but they don't want to tell the American people because they might begin to question the pap that's being fed to them through the controlled media.
Well, but people say to me that that it's ludicrous to believe in a conspiracy, number one, and it's even more ludicrous to believe that there is secret cooperation between the United States and the other major nations of the world. I just remind them of Revelation 17, because in Revelation 17, it's talking about the final 10 rulers, and of course the nations have been reorganized economically into 10 nations. NAFTA is nation number one. But it says here in Revelation 17, verse 13, it's talking about these final 10 rulers. It says, these rulers have one common policy and goal, and that is to deliver their power and authority to the beast. And then over there, in verse 17, it says, for God has put it into their hearts to carry out his own purpose by acting in harmony to surrender their power to the beast.
We
want to act in harmony. So we should be expecting this kind of thing, not surprised when it comes.
Well, of course, when the people poo-poo the idea of a conspiracy, if they're Christians, I just point out, well, there have always been conspiracies. If you go to Jeremiah 11:9 or Ezekiel 22:25, it talks about the conspiracy against God. Certainly the second Psalm deals with this same conspiracy against God, where the kings of the world get together and laugh and chuckle at how they, they don't understand that they will never defeat God, but they will certainly try, because the kings of this world are controlled by the prince of this world,
right,
Satan. And it's about time, you see, that the churches don't talk about the satanic influence that permeates every aspect of the world today. The force behind homosexuality, the force behind abortion, the force behind pornography, the force behind crime and rape and all of the terrible things going on today. Of course, this is demonic possession. And even David Berkowitz, the son of Sam murderer, talks about the demonic possession. He's actually, David Berkowitz has become a Christian. And he was actually asked about the sniper shootings, and he said these people had to be demonically possessed. Well, they may have been Islamic, but they certainly were demonically possessed. You have to be, and many of these, all of these Islamic terrorists are demonically possessed. That's how they can kill without any conscience at all.
Remember Sam and Rushdie?
Right.
And his book, The Satanic Verses?
Right.
Remember how he so angered the Iranian clergy that they passed a death sentence on him?
Right.
And anybody in the world, you know, that could find him, could get to him, if they could kill him, they'd get this big reward. Well, do you know what got the Iranian clergy so mad? Do you know what there was about that book?
No, it was because he talked about the satanic influence.
Yeah, he basically said that virtually everybody in the entire population of Islam are demonically possessed. And that's what got him in so much trouble with the Iranian clergy.
Well,
and indeed, there is such a generational demonic force that has been occupying those populations for 1,000 years or more.
Let's go to Ed calling from Aptos. Hi, Ed. Question or comment?
Brief comment, Dr. Stan. Every time I hear that term, conspiracy, and people poo-pooing it, it just, I start to have contempt for the American people to be such vegetables that they can't see through these cheesy lies. You know, it's like Al Capone told the government, you know, the bigger than us, you're no better than us, you're just bigger. That was one predator, hybrid predator, knowing what the other predators were. And you know, the first criticizing of conspiracy theory was from that lush limbo, that highly paid disinformationist. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye.
You know, that's the first thing that got me started to really seeing the truth about Rush Limbaugh and what he's all about, was when he just started, you know, lambasting that there could be a conspiracy.
Oh, we're going to have to interrupt you there, because I always refer to Rush as the finest conservative money can buy. But right now, we're going to have to tell our listeners just a little bit about some of the items that we carry. And first of all, I want to mention, we're going to be having an all-day conference out at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's the 23rd of November. That's a week from this coming Saturday. And we're going to open the doors at 8 in the morning, and we're going to close them at 6 in the evening. It's going to be going on for 10 hours. Of course, the programs will start at 8:45. There's going to be a luncheon. We put together a great syllabus with some information you'll never find elsewhere. And the whole theme is, how do you prepare for what lies ahead? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not prepared and you don't understand what's going on, then you may well wake up like the people did in Argentina. Half of them have been impoverished and lost everything they had literally overnight when the banks closed their doors. So you need to understand what's happening financially. You need to understand banking. And so we'll be stressing what you need to do financially, what you need to do from your own personal health point of view, and then what you need to do for spiritual preparation for what lies ahead. That's November the 23rd. That's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And, of course, we need to know as soon as possible how many people are coming. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We're beginning to fill up. We're getting a good response. Please give us a call. Let us know you're going to be there. I think you'll find it a fascinating, fascinating day. Again, that's the November the 23rd, all-day seminar at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is at war today.
the Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is David Bay. His website is cuttingedge.org. That's cuttingedge.org. David, what will people find if they go to your website?
They will find that we understand Bible prophecy and black magic witchcraft extremely well. And those two ingredients, are really necessary for someone to understand what's really occurring. Knowing Bible prophecy is self-explanatory, but most people do not realize that in Daniel 8:23-25, Bible describes the revelation, the religion of Antichrist, and it's black magic witchcraft. And so once you understand that plus prophecy, you can see how we are gradually being led into this new world order in the daily news. And we are driven by daily news. Our articles are driven by daily news. And so it's a highly informative website.
How many hits are you getting now a day?
Four to four and a half million.
No, I'm talking a day.
Oh, a day.
Well, you're 4 to 4.5 million a month.
We're 4 to 4.5 million a month. Last month we had about 800,000 articles downloaded. And we have over 10,000 people coming to the site a day. So it's but most importantly, we wanted this to be a soul winning ministry. We didn't want to just be a disseminator of information. And so we put a salvation page hot link at the end of every article, and we are seeing salvation pages downloaded at the rate of 7 per hour. So we are getting a lot of gospel seed. We are out in Spanish as well as English, also Portuguese, French, and even Finnish. So the Lord is blessing, and we just praise Him for it.
Now, who is translating this into Finnish for you?
A young man in Finland
who
approached us and said that he loved our site, and would we give him computer expertise to enable him to set up a site in Finnish, and he would translate the articles.
That's wonderful, David. Well,
it's the same way with the Portuguese website.
Well, the thing is, people do not understand, and this is, of course, the thing we try to teach them, is that you cannot understand what's happening politically or culturally or ideologically unless you understand the spiritual, unless you understand that there truly are demonic forces. These are not imaginary. They're real. They've always been here. This is behind the UFO phenomenon. This is behind so much of what's going on today. In fact, we've got this wonderful video that's put out by Cloud 10, and it goes into the fact that the military is harnessing these supernatural forces. Based upon a truth, although it's a fictional story, but it's an amazing video, and we have it both video and DVD. It's called Deceived, and it's the story of your United States military tapping into the supernatural. They understand, Satanists don't want you to understand.
When people say to me, I don't believe that the American government can be involved in anything, occult or satanic, Luciferian, I just invite them to turn that dollar bill over, that $1 bill over, and look at that tremendously satanic unfinished pyramid with the eye of Lucifer hanging on, over it.
What's that doing on the back of the American dollar bill?
And I say to people, you do recognize that is an official document of the United States government, don't you? And when they say yes, I said, when you see it in front of your eyes on an official government document, and it's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen at the end of the age, why do you deny it? Or why do you want to deny it?
Of course, you know the book well that we carry. It's entitled Freemasonic and Occult Symbols by Dr. Kathy Brown. And, of course, must read
it. Dr. Kathy Burns.
Kathy Burns, I'm sorry. And Kathy has done a wonderful, wonderful job of pointing out the symbols that you see out there in the audience every day. And you don't recognize them. You see it every time you turn on CBS, and you'll see down in the right lower quadrant that eye. That is, of course, an occult symbol.
Or how about the peacock?
Sure, of course, the peacock for NBC, right?
It's one of the one of the most prominent symbols. It's a symbol. It's one of the symbols of Antichrist, for crying out loud. With the all, you know, they conceive of the those large round, the large round pattern. On a peacock's tail to be all-seeing eyes.
Sure, and of course, you'll see this in the symbol of the Trilateral Commission.
Yeah.
And of course, what is it? Why, it's three intertwining sixes. The symbol of the Aquarian Conspiracy, a three intertwining sixes, the logo of the World Future Society with Marie Strong, and ties into certainly Robert Strange McNamara, who sent our boys to Vietnam to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but never to try to win that war. McNamara knew exactly what he was doing. He was part of this World Future Society. Well, you'll see his name listed there right above Barbara Marks Hubbard, who is a Luciferian and a Satanist, and, of course, all on the board of directors of the World Future Society. And until we started talking about it, their logo was a circle made up of three sixes, and you'll find all of these in Dr. Kathy Burns' excellent book.
The fact of the matter is, American corporations are solidly behind this movement. They've been, you know, what are you talking about, IBM? Are you talking about, you know, just most of the Fortune 500 companies are solidly behind this plan.
Well, of course, that's how you get ahead in this world. You sell out to the dark side. And, you know, that old story of the devil and Daniel Webster. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are not just stories. these things are real.
Well, see, in the economy of the New World Order, you are going to have fascism as the economy, and that's the economy where the means of enterprise, the factories and the mines, etc., are held in private hands, but the government controls how many people can make, you know, how many competitors there can be making the same thing, and how much of any one thing can be made, and under those conditions, Stan, the private owners of these companies get filthy rich.
And that is
the carrot that draws these large companies in.
And, of course, remember what happened to Tucker when he tried to go into the automobile industry and compete with them. Remember what happened to John DeLorean when he tried to build a car over in England, a stainless steel car that would never wear out. And, of course, they set him up with a phony sting operation. Fortunately, when the truth was brought out at the jury trial, he was exonerated. But by that time, of course, they had destroyed his automobile industry. This is how you have competition. In other words, the government comes in and destroys the competitors of the elite.
Right, and
they did not want DeLorean.
What?
They did not want Tucker to be competing with the favored companies, which supposedly are competing against one another. But, you know, you get into the background of the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation is probably the largest holder of the Ford stock. Ford Foundation is funding the illegal immigration movement. Ford Foundation has been funding communist and communist front organizations.
Foundation was funding the anti-war activity,
right,
along with the Rockefeller Foundation.
And, of course, if you doubt that, you need to get the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, written 50 years ago.
That's a great book, Stan. We carry that book from
you.
That's a great book.
Do you get that through us?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we get that through you.
And, of course, David's got a great list of books, many of which he gets through us. But you get them through him, you get them through us. The important thing is you get the books, and then you help us to get that information out. A new book called Importing Revolution goes into how the Ford Foundation is funding the illegal immigration movement in America today, the illegal immigration movement in America today. In other words, inviting people to violate our laws. Why? Because they want to create a multicultural society so they can play one group against the other, while the elite, of course, will continue to rule. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, you may not agree with what we're saying, but just get your dollar bill, turn it over, look at the back, and ask yourself, what is an Egyptian pyramid capped by a glorified eye doing on the back of the dollar bill? And of course,
the eye of Lucifer.
The eye of Lucifer, that's right. And the people who put it there knew exactly what it meant. They just figured that you're too dumb either to understand or even to care about it. Well, David, go ahead now. Of course, you're talking about, you're concerned about the war, and you're concerned about what happened in the elections. And of course, supposedly now the Republicans have a mandate. They control both the House and the Senate. But of course, the agenda of the establishment will be carried out. This will have nothing to do with what the American people want.
Right. The first thing that virtually the first thing that Bush was talking about after this mandate was the Homeland Security Bill. And the Homeland Security is a Gestapo-like organization. It truly is, and it's going to be the administrative arm that carries out all these draconian laws contained in the Patriot Act and in other smaller bills that supplement the Patriot Act. Without an administrative agency, all these laws that have been worrying us for so long could never be enforced. It could never be enacted.
Well, you know, the significant thing about the Office of Homeland Security Act is the fact that it does away with the system of checks and balances, and no longer then will our elected representatives or even our courts have anything to say about this. This government agency with 170,000 employees, combining 22 agencies, of course, no longer will there be any oversight over our intelligence committees. And even more than that, of course, what the president insists on is doing away with the whistleblower protection, so that a government official who sees gross treason within the government will have no rights at all if they expose it. In fact, they will come under the hammer of government vengeance if they dare tell the American people about corruption and treason at the highest level of our government. That's what all this talk about the civil service was about. They wanted to remove whistleblower protection.
Well, and remember, too, that the courts before which the Homeland Security, with which the Homeland Security will work in enforcing these laws, is a secret court, and it's just a very dangerous, very, very dangerous.
And you know, the tragic thing is the only people who are speaking out against it are the ACLU and some of the left-wing radical people out there. The Senator Wellstones, for instance, who would try to point out what's happening. And the conservative mainline Christians, they're all going along. Our president wants it, anything he wants. Why, we've got to support him because he knows things we don't know, and so we've got to give him all this power.
If Clinton Reno were trying to do this, we would be absolutely outraged, absolutely up in arms. And yet you see you see no protest from the mainline Protestant Christian leaders. It's like you said one time that you thought that maybe that the reason George Bush was elected president at this time was to silence the criticism of the Christian right.
Well, there certainly is very little criticism of the Christian right today.
There's none.
It's about time the American people began to wake up, and it's up to you out there in the listening audience to help us wake them up. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out here in the listening audience and you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and partner with us in our effort to awaken the American people as to what's going on, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month, or as much as you can possibly afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day and on almost 50 outlets every single week, where people are hearing things they've never heard before. And we hope that then that many of you will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family. We want you to tell others about our programs. We want you to tell them about our website at www.radioliberty.com, or where they can listen to our programs, our archive programs, pull down many of the things we've written, pull down, of course, many of the newsletters. They're all up there. We invite you to copy them and disseminate them. My material on the background of the September 11th attack is unparalleled. If you'd like a free copy of our October newsletter, which was the testimony that Kristen Breitweiser, who lost her husband in the South Tower of the World Trade Center, the testimony she gave before the House and the Senate Intelligence Select Committee on the 18th of September, a testimony which was totally ignored by the controlled media. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for the October Radio Liberty newsletter. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you haven't had a newsletter before. Of course, we hope that you'll subscribe and help us get this information out across America from sea to shining sea. Call right now. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today is David Bay of Cutting Edge Ministries. It's cuttingedge.org, cuttingedge.org on the internet, www.cuttingedge.org. If you're out there in the listening audience, and maybe you disagree, maybe you think we ought to go to war with Saddam Hussein, we have to go over there because he's such a bad guy, and after all, there may be weapons of mass destruction there. Why, give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you agree with us, well, I would love to hear from you if you have any question or comment. Now, if you want the documentation for the things we talk about, you can get in touch with us, and we'll give you the sources of the documents. If you want to understand what really happened on September 11th, you need to get my new video. It's called 911 Contrived. And then, of course, if you read that along with the statements of our leaders who said, oh, we had no idea there was going to be an attack on the World Trade Center. Well, of course they knew there was going to be an attack on the World Trade Center. I mean, there was so much evidence that this was going to be the major target. In fact, one of the FBI agents up in Minneapolis had made the statement, you know, when the FBI wouldn't allow them to get into Zacharias Massui's laptop computer, this guy could have gotten into a plane and crashed it into the World Trade Center. I mean, this was foremost in the minds of many, many people. But, of course, we couldn't let the American people realize that. How could you justify what happened on September 11th or the fact that there were no planes allowed to try to intercept those hijacked planes? I mean, we were on maximum alert, and you mean to tell me there wasn't one fighter plane available to guard our nation's capital on September 11th? Do you really believe that? An hour and 40 minutes after the first plane was hijacked, there were no fighter planes in the air anywhere in the United States to intercept,
They should have intercepted the second plane for
sure. Of course, they could have. In fact, they told the people who wanted to leave their positions in the South Tower after the first tower had been hit, oh, no, stay there. I mean, don't leave. And there was a man on the top floor working for Morgan Stanley who ran up and down the aisle with a blowhorn and said, get out, we're under attack. And he saved 3,500 people.
Amazing.
And, of course, you've never heard that story of Stephen Push, whose wife died in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. Tells that story in my interview, which I think will be a tape of the month for this month. But, of course, that man went back in because there were three employees who didn't get out. And, of course, he died when the building came down. But of course, there was plenty of time to evacuate the building, and the Port Authority kept saying, stay at your post, stay at your post, stay at your post. And the Port Authority is controlled by the same people who control the airport, who knew that other plane was coming in, the hijacked plane was coming to New York. So there are so many stories and so many things we could talk about, but let's let David Bay talk, because you've heard me enough. Go ahead, David.
How much time do we have?
We've got about 8 minutes.
Oh, do we? Okay. I want to talk about the 60-minute time window that was given by the UN resolution. And on Monday the 18th, the weapons inspectors will arrive, and they plan on immediately starting to inspect.
Now, you said 60 minutes or 60 days?
Excuse me, 60 days.
Okay, fine.
So from 60 days, from November 18th, which would be January 18th, Saddam Hussein has to comply with all of their, with all of their demands, and they have to issue a report at the end of 60 days, whether, you know, as to what they found and as to whether or not Iraq is disarming or not disarming. Well, I find that extremely interesting, because a week before the resolution, one of the intelligence agencies I use for news reported that that American Great Britain and Turkey special forces had been fighting in northeastern Iraq now for over a month, something which we do not hear. And that we now control 15% of the country.
Now, while I'm talking, you're talking about Iraq, or you're talking about?
Iraq.
You're talking about Kurdistan.
I'm talking about Iraq.
All right, fine. Now, Kurdistan is part of Iraq. Is this within the Kurdish area or another area?
It was in the northeastern area.
Oh, the northeastern area, all right. We have forces up there. All right. Now, how can we verify that? I haven't heard that.
I've not been able to verify it, I've been using Debka file primarily for a long time. They've been very accurate.
All right.
But anything, what they said was, this was stage one. Stage one had been completed. Stage two needed to take some more positions, especially along the rivers, so that we could fly our troops in and use, cross the Euphrates River, Tigris and Euphrates River. And to accomplish stage two, they needed 60 days. They needed 60 days to get into position. And I read this a solid week before I read the text of the resolution passed by the United Nations giving him 60 days to comply.
All right, of course.
And I find that that is just a little too coincidental.
All right. Well, there are a lot of coincidences there, and I'm sure all of this is scripted. Of course, Debka Files is Mossad, so I always read what they say with a little skepticism.
A little, but they've been pretty accurate. I've been using them now for 3 years.
Right.
And they've been very accurate.
All right.
Much, much better than any of the other groups that are out there.
Well, I have no question that our government intends to go to war. And it doesn't matter what Saddam Hussein says or does, we're going to war. And it should be obvious to the American people, we're not concerned about what Saddam Hussein says or does. We are going to war in the Middle East. If you're concerned that he may have weapons of mass destruction, you have to realize he is not going to attack either Israel or the United States with those weapons of mass destruction, because he knows the retaliation would be swift and, of course, would be devastating and destructive. The only way we have any threat to us here in the United States is if we do attack Saddam Hussein. He may be a threat to some of his neighbors, but actually his major neighbors on one side, he has Iran. They have actually signed all sorts of peace agreements with Iran. The Irans and the Iraqis are much closer together. And the real danger over in the Middle East is not Iraq, it is Iran. They have nuclear weapons. They have three times the military force that Saddam has. Well, they have not been
Saudi damaged. Arabia has nuclear weapons.
Sure, of course they do.
And the missiles to deliver them.
Right, and of course it was the Saudi Arabians who came to America. America and attack the World Trade Center. And, of course, there is a great deal of evidence that a number of foundations in Saudi Arabia and wealthy people in Saudi Arabia and the princes of the government were financing Osama bin Laden and certainly the Al-Qaeda terrorists. And when the families of the people who died in the World Trade Center wanted to sue them, and, of course, in court, it would come out, either they were involved or they were not involved. Why, of course, instead of allowing the truth to come out, our government is covering from Saudi Arabia and doing everything they can to stop the lawsuits, saying that we don't want the lawsuits. They could hurt our foreign policy, or maybe it means we would hurt some of the friends of the people who work in the big oil companies. And they're really unconcerned who was really behind the terrorist attack. They are going to, of course, to maintain the relationship with Saudi Arabia, at least temporarily. But I would also be very concerned if I was a Saudi Arabian, too. Because if we will create Saddam Hussein and finance Saddam Hussein and leave Saddam Hussein in power and protect Saddam Hussein and give him biological and chemical warfare, and if you doubt that, you need to read the book Against All Enemies, written at least 5 years ago by Seymour Hersh, and, of course, just covering what was brought out in the various Senate investigations about how we gave Saddam chemical and biological warfare agents. I mean, if we would create this man, what makes anybody think that we would not create other enemies that, of course, we would tend to destroy?
Well, I agree with you totally. The major point I want to bring, and I want to bring it out before we run out of time, is that I suspect that the same 60-day period that we see that we need to get our final military preparations in place on the ground. Is all that same 60-day period is also operating in the Homeland Security bill and in generally getting the domestic front ready for this planned war. Because during this planned war, when the terrorist attacks begin, the plan is to dissolve this government and take away our liberties. And so they must have a Homeland Security in operation and ready to govern when this does happen. So I think the same 60, I think everything, I think both domestically and with Iraq, our military preparation with Iraq may be following the same 60-day track.
Well, I would simply point out that there is a Council on Foreign Relations Committee working on a program for continuity of government if our government is eliminated by a biological or chemical or nuclear war, and they're holding their meetings on regularly. How will our government function if most of our elected officials are killed? You are not hearing about that. We're going to have Mr. Howard Phillips, a very good friend of mine, we'll be having him on our programs in this coming weeks to tell you about this committee that's laying out the plan, because they obviously think that there is going to be a major attack and there is going to be a disruption of the continuity of government.
They plan for this major attack.
They are making plans for this. What do they know that the average American doesn't know? David, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. These are exciting times to know the Lord, aren't they?
They are. And if you don't know the Lord, you have every reason to be terrified.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That was David DeBay, and I hope you enjoyed our program. And, of course, we covered a lot of things, but all I can say is we're in for difficult times. I mean, I don't know that there's a 60-day plan, in other words, necessarily to dissolve our government, but I do know certain things. I do know that there's a plan for what you will do with the continuity of government if most of our elected officials are killed. Why would they be making plans like that? And you're going to hear that plan discussed here in the very near future, right here on Radio Liberty. These are the things you're not going to hear elsewhere. And that's why it's so important that you get others listening to our programs, and that you get our documentation for the things we're talking about, that you support our ministry, and that you pray for my ministry for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, this is Dr. Stan reminding you about our conference we're going to have on the 23rd of November, the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Hope you can make it. I think you'll find it exciting. And we're going to talk about how you better start preparing and get prepared right now for what lies ahead. And so until tomorrow, as I said, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
if we are off WHRI,